A lucky politician. A politician was a Portuguese. He used to work in a port. Then he came to this country that had a population of 2 million. It was famous for its fine porcelain. Because he cared for political matters, he went into politics in his 40s. Since being a politician, he polished his shoes every day, and he was always polite to people. For the coming general election, the politician spent several days polishing his lecture. On that day, he had a bowl of porridge and some pork chops for breakfast. On the rostrum, he posed casually. He posed the environmental pollution. He said that the pond near the forest and a swimming pool in a school had been polluted by waste products from the factories. His politics was to reduce pollution. Suddenly, an assassin popped from the porch to shoot at him. With a pop, the politician fell down. The bodyguard must bear a portion of the blame for the accident. The politician was sent to the hospital. The porter carried his portable television set and a portrait of his wife to his ward. The politician survived, and he polled over 3,000 votes. His popularity among working people remained as strong as ever. His books were more popular now.
An important person, important courage. There were two employees in a post office, a postmaster and a postman. The postmaster had just been raised to the position. The postman possessed only a small poultry farm. He wasn't rich, but he didn't need to fight against poverty. It was a rainy day. The rain was pouring down. The mail cart had been postponed until the next day. The postmaster was lying in a very comfortable position. The postman put up a poster advertising postcards on the wall. Just then, a man came in. He asked the postmaster what was the postage for a postal parcel. The postmaster replied the cost was £2 for it, but he found that the man's possession was not potatoes, but a pot of dangerous powder. The man took out a gun. The postmaster was practically frightened to death. The incident awakened the postman's powerful potential. He thought of several possibilities. He would do everything possible to save the postmaster and himself. First of all, he touched the alarm bell. Then he quickly separated the postmaster and the gangster with an armor glass window. The gangster fled away. Before long, he was caught by the police. The postman gave a positive identification of the gangster. He was positive with that. Later, a reporter asked him what his position is on this matter. He only presented a practical proposal.
And successful inspection. A politician was in practice as a premier now. He was going to inspect a school, but he couldn't give the schoolmaster a precise date. The schoolmaster paid attention to preliminary works. He thought that it was wise to take precautions against accidents, so he made a plan and put it into practice. First, about the anthem, the students were out of practice. They must practice enough. Then every student must say a prayer every night before going to bed. On the day the premier came, preparations for him were almost complete. The premier was a man who was free from prejudice. He preceded his speech with a few words of appreciation. Then he preached that the students should love each other. He preferred the view taken by a famous writer, that friendships between people were precious. The preface of the writer's book was very brief. The premier received high praise from everyone, but his predominant characteristic was honesty. He thought truth preferable to compliments. Finally, the premier predicted that the school had a promising perspective.
Preservation of natural resources. The fur clothing prevailed in a country presently. It was prevalent that husbands gave their wives beautiful fur coats as presents. If presumed that 1% of the families had a fur coat, presumably 30,000 animals had been preyed on. To top it all, the hunters preyed on animals on pretext of keeping the species balanced. President Carter could not pretend not to see this. In fact, the matter pressed him. Cares preyed on his health. He was presently taking actions. Last month, President Carter presided over a news conference. Previous to the conference, he had discussed it with his ministers. President Carter presently appeared after the reporters took seats. He was pleased at seeing so many people present because he wanted the press to exert pressure upon those lawbreakers. The press's power was pretty strong. President Carter appealed that all the people must strive for the preservation of our natural resources. He said he had presented an application to the committee to constitute some new laws that prescribe punishment for this crime. These laws were intended to prevent the crime. President Carter's prescription for the preservation of natural resources was effective. Justice would prevail. At present, the situation was in control. That's enough for the present. The four in the last sentence is a preposition.
Constantly strive till succeed. Beth used to be a printer. She was put into prison because of an accident. As a prisoner, she was spending her priceless prime in prison. Beth had not been educated formally. Working experiences were the principal source of her knowledge, but she was talented. She was working on a deep space probe. The prince and the princess heard of this. They had a private talk with her following an unusual procedure. They had not met her prior to that day. After hearing her introduction of the probe, they made it their prime care. But an entourage, a priest, laughed at Beth. He called her probe a primitive tool. "There is no probability of your success," he said, and the priest revealed that Beth even had not gone to primary school. His works pricked Beth's pride. Everyone had his own privacy, and she adhered to the principle that everyone should be treated fairly. Fortunately, the prince and the princess privileged Beth to use the lab in the prison. Beth prized their trust beyond everything. She made up her mind to work out a prime deep space probe. She probed the problem, looking for the solution, and Beth did it in the end. Her design won first prize in the competition. It's highly probable that she would be commuted.
New blood, new atmosphere. A factory produced projectors. Workers there worked hard, but their efforts were not very productive. The factory director tried to increase production and productivity by better methods. He read a professor's profile and expressed his satisfaction. The professor had a nice profile. He was a teacher by profession. His profound knowledge made him progressive in many ways. He was a professional in the management field because he acquired proficiency in management. The director hired him. The deal was quite profitable. The professor's joining in had a profound influence on the factory. Since he came to the factory, the work was proceeding according to his program. The first thing he did was to announce that smoking was prohibited in the factory. His program also included a process for making new products. He explained the process to the workers carefully. Every Monday afternoon, the professor presided over a meeting. The meeting often was prolonged into evening because so many problems had to be solved. A program computer kept reword of the proceedings of the meeting. The project to establish a new workshop would be completed next year. Under the professor's management, the factory made progress quickly. By the end of that year, he was proclaimed vice factory director. The workers walked in procession through the street to support him. A TV program reported this.
Where there is a will, there is a way. Dick worked in a promising company. Before the financial crisis, He put forward a proposal for the company. He proposed that a change should be made. His proposition was so clear that it was adopted. His prompt action protected the company from financial crisis. His abilities were put to proof in the business. The company prospered through his proper management. Because of his prominent work, Dick was promoted to a higher class. His abilities and his incomes were in proportion. Day by day, Dick owned a great deal of property. His business was prosperous. His prospect was promising. One day, Dick proposed to his boss's lovely daughter. The father asked his daughter if she had accepted his proposal. She protested to her father that she disliked his pronunciation. He never pronounces pronouns correctly. In fact, she disliked his prominent nose. Dick invited the girl to travel by plane. He told her the aircraft worked by jet propulsion, and the propellers were the main equipments on the planes. The girl was surprised by his knowledge. From the porthole, there was a beautiful prospect below the plane. Dick said to the girl, "Exercise and more protein will promote your health." His considerate words touched her and promoted her to understand him more. A month later, the priest pronounced them man and wife. They promised they would love each other forever.
Never give up. Mr. Chapman discovered a new proton theory. He was so proud that the excitement quickened his pulse. Mr. Chapman arranged his documents for publication. His book was published in public soon. The matter received wide publicity, but according to the provisions of the agreement between he and the Royal Academy, he must prove his theory. He must provide hundreds of reports. Mr. Chapman's impatience provoked the critics in the province of science criticism to punish him. They always did that, providing that anyone made them unhappy. On the day of declaring the result, Mr. Chapman arrived punctually. He pulled off his hat and stood in front of those critics. His pupils became small because of disappointment. He puffed as he climbed the stairs. He had a bad tooth pulled out. There could be some psychological explanation for his bad health. His wife suggested a trip. They set out with enough provisions. Before they left, their house was pulled down, as it was too old. The driver pulled up the car at the railway station. The train pulled in at 9 a.m. They arrived on the platform just as the train was pulling out. The conductor punched their train tickets. They went to a farm of another province. At the farm, there was an old-fashioned pump. The next day was Mr. Chapman's birthday. He blew out the candles on the cake with a single puff. He wanted to perfect his theory and get victory in the end.
Pure hearts. Clara divorced at last. Before that, she had a lot of suffering to put up with, but she didn't want to be a puppet of fate. So she made up her mind. Clara was a woman of purity and goodness. She put up poor people for the night. She purified the water before the children drank it. Her children loved her, too. Her son put in for a scholarship successfully. Thus, he could put some money aside with the purpose of buying a watch for his mother. He put his meaning across very well to his sister. But she put forward a better idea. Both of them went to a shop for the purpose of purchasing a gift. A man touched the boy on purpose. Then the boy found his purse stolen. The shopping plan was put off. They went out to pursue the man, but he was gone. The two children put up a notice and took a bus home. The bus pulled in at the bus station. To their surprise, they saw the man again. He was putting up a hand to say hello to another man. The children caught him with the policeman's help. They got the purse back and bought a beautiful purple dress for their mum. After supper, the children put the dress away on their mum's bed, then went to their rooms. Clara saw the dress. She put it on. It was beautiful. The mother took it off and put it down on the bed. She put out the light and could not help weeping because of happiness.
Endless quarrel. In this country, the queen had a queer habit. She ordered a minister to distribute goods and materials quarterly. The minister must have good qualitative judgment because he needed to quantify the materials. He must qualify himself for the task. A qualified minister was sent to do this. The goods and materials are good in terms of both quantity and quality. Each qualified person could get quantitative materials, 4 quarts of milk, a quilt, and a quartz clock. To be qualified, one must pass a qualification quiz. The quiz consisted of 3 questions. He must quote the Bible to answer the questions. Now, quiet people were queuing up for the quiz. It went smoothly. A quarter of the people passed the quiz and got their materials. 2 men looked quite questionable. They wanted to get more material, so they quarreled with each other. Both of them quivered with rage. One of them lighted up the other's quilt. Fortunately, the fireman quenched the fire. The minister forced them to quit. Whether they arrested them or not was in question. A quarterly reported this affair.
Against racial discrimination. Jim was a black man. He was a runner. He ran so fast that people called him Flying Rabbit. Jim won many races, and he ranked 3rd in the world. Jim lived in a city in which racial discrimination was popular. Some radical Ku Klux Klan members rallied to discuss a murder plan. Their ages ranged from 15 to 45. They made a radical decision, to kill Jim. It was a winter day. Jim went home. His clothes were scattered about the room at random. Jim put his tennis racket on the rack, then turned on the radiator to warm the house. He watched TV programs for a while. It said the radioactive radium waste had radioactivity. They should be buried deeply under the ground. After that, Jim went to the yard to clean his car radiator with a rag. Having finished his work, he leaned on the yard's rail, viewing the distance. It began to rain. The radicals made a raid on him. They hit him with rakes. Jim's eyes flashed with rage. His body was racked with pain. Just then a police car passed by. The radicals fled into the woods. Jim raised his arm for help. The policeman sent him to the hospital. After the rain, there was a rainbow in the sky. The sun radiated light and heat. The police searched all the woods in a 6-mile radius, then found they had taken a helicopter and flew southeast. The police followed it by radar. Their acts of racial oppression must be punished.
Mistaken Love. Many readers enjoyed the offbeat readings readily. Here is a realistic story. This is not imagination, but reality. Mr. Doughty wanted to be a first-rate physicist since childhood. His wish was realized when he was 34. The realization of his wish made him very happy. Mr. Doughty's work was to observe the nuclear reactor's reaction. He noticed that the nearby rat's birth rate had been brought down, but the newborn rats were rather big. They looked like cats rather than rats. People rarely saw such a kind of rat. Everyone was surprised by the rapidity of its speed. They liked to eat raw meat. Once, some peasants were reaping a field of barley. A rat followed at the rear of them. Suddenly, it rushed at one of them. Its teeth were as sharp as a razor. It ate him. The government ordered to kill all of these dangerous rats. But Mr. Doughty hid one of them. No rational person would do that. He realized his own danger, but he would rather die than lose it. He treated it as a rare animal. It brought a ray of sunshine into his life. The police found his secret, but Mr. Doughty would not hand it out at any rate, so he was expelled from the realm. A month later, Mr. Doughty was found dead. The rat ate him.
Thank you. Recollect the past. Recently, our company held a reception in honor of the new director. I recognized that he was my friend Lewis. I recalled the time we spent together. 5 years ago, some soldiers rebelled. They captured a land that was reclaimed from the sea. The government sent a general to reclaim the land, but the general did not reckon with all the possible problems, so he failed, and he could not give a reasonable explanation. The government recalled him and recruited new officers. My superior recommended me. Thus I met Lewis. The rebellion was ultimately put down, but both of us were sent to hospital by reason of being wounded. In hospital, our only recreation was reciting all kinds of recipes. Lewis recorded them all with a tape recorder. Lewis never reckoned on his father visiting him. They showed reciprocal hostility to each other. I tried to reconcile them. I persuaded Lewis to rectify some mistakes he made. Later, he posted some money to his father. His father gave him a receipt. They became reconciled. I was well on my way to recovery. The doctor recommended that Lewis stay a month more, so I had to leave alone. My homeland had changed out of all recognition since was last there. I never thought I would see Lewis in my homeland. Lewis recognized me, too. After the reception, we recollected many funny things together.
A long way to go. A refinery located in the tropical region. Mr. Herbert worked there. He foresaw the great reductions in prices, and he should like to make a suggestion in regard to this matter. He said to the boss, "You must take some actions regardless. Please don't be regardless of the consequences." But the boss didn't regard his advice. He made a refusal of it. Even he couldn't refute Mr. Herbert's argument. He replied, "I will deal with it by myself. As regards to you, you are fired." Mr. Herbert regarded his boss with wide eyes. He felt he was regarded as a fool. Mr. Herbert went to a lake. The lake was his refuge whenever he felt sad. He saw the reflection of the reeds in the lake. To refresh himself, he drank some refreshments he took from a refrigerator. Then he reeled up a fish. Mr. Herbert knew nothing regarding his future, but he was that kind of people who had regenerative ability. He recovered his confidence and began to write a book. Mr. Herbert referred to many references for writing, and he referred to one of the references. The book was full of references to theories that he didn't know. He referred to it as his compass. Mr. Herbert reflected upon the social situation. On further reflection, he realized that the social regime needed reform. His book reflected his point of view. Mr. Herbert's book gained great success, but he knew it was still a long way for him to go.
Edith and her coach. Edith was a registered dancing student. The student's way of living was quite regular. They lived with regularity every day. Their coach regulated them strictly. He made many regulations for students. The relationship between them was not good. Edith didn't think he was a reliable man. She didn't place much reliance on him. One day, one of Edith's relatives visited her. The man was living in relative poverty. He survived on relief. His wife died. He showed Edith some relics. Edith asked for leave to console the dead. The coach asked some questions relevant to her relative. Then he said, "You must reinforce the rehearsal for tonight's performance. The TV station will relay it, and a book about it will be released next month. It is in relation to your future." Edith knew her request was rejected. Sadness reigned her heart. The music couldn't relax her or relieve her headache. Edith felt like she was a bird that needed to be released. She hoped that some relay could finish her rehearsal. That evening, another student related a surprising thing to Edith. The coach visited Edith's relative's home and gave them some money. The student was sure of the reliability of information. Edith rejoiced at the news. It's a great relief to hear it. At the same time, Edith regretted misunderstanding the coach before. Relating his words and his conduct, Edith judged that he was a good man.
Common family, common life. I saw an article today. The editor remarked that the article was remarkable. It reminded me of a family. I used to be a reporter. I gathered news of a family. After a fire accident, very little remained of their house. I hope there was not repetition of this. When I arrived there, they just finished their supper and put the remains of the meal in the refrigerator. They were very reluctant to cooperate with me. I saw the head of the family. It's a religious old woman. She was sick. Her illness rendered her unable to get up. Her family advised her repeatedly to go to hospital, but she refused because of her religion. In fact, her illness was beyond remedy. The family was going to remove to a remote village. They planned to spend the remainder of their lives there. The removal took place on a rainy morning. They chose a house nearby a river because they relied on it for their water. They rented the house at a rent of $100 a month. I rendered some money to them. The whole family renovated the house at once. Some worn-out lamp bulbs needed replacement. They painted the walls with a special material that could repel heat and moisture. Spring renewed the earth, but the old woman was dying. The priest asked her, "Have you nothing to repent of?" She replied, "No." Her remains were buried in the churchyard. Before I left the village, the family repaid the money they owed gratefully.